It's 3:37. You're listening to Afternoon Jazz at 90.5 FM, WSNC Winston-Salem, jazz in all its colors from the campus of Winston-Salem State University. I'm Jim Steele. Glad to be with you this afternoon. We just heard music from Sade, Pearls from Love Deluxe. We have some deluxe music coming up this evening. It's the 2026 opening of Downtown Jazz at Corporating Plaza. Our general manager, Brian Anthony, is standing by with our headliner this evening, Alex Bunyol, who will be performing this evening. Things get started around 6:30 p.m. Brian, thanks for stopping by. Thanks for bringing Alex Bunyol with you.
No, thank him for interrupting his time today because, you know, he's got to get ready for a show. This is going to be a fun evening. I can tell you that now. Alex is here. Let's start by doing this. Taking time to go back. I don't like introducing artists without giving people the history, especially when we do jazz radio the way we do it. So I know you came to the United States in 1988, and I met you in 1989. First of all, welcome to Winston.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Came here from Montreux, Switzerland, and started a career right away. I met you in St. Louis, mm-hmm. and it was interesting that the first single that was introduced to me was Yearning for Your Love by the Gap Band.
Yeah.
Why that selection and why that went to introduce Alex Bunyol to the United States?
I had zero choice in that in choosing that as a single.
Uh-huh.
But the tune, I've always wanted to record it, but I was still part of Najee's band. I didn't have a deal yet.
Right.
I was playing with Najee in '87. And at every sound check, I would just jam on this song. We would all come and jam on that song.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just a sound check tune that on Najee's sound check. And when it was time, when I got my deal, that was the first song that I knew I was going to record.
That's interesting you say that, because Najee is kind of the king of the remake instrumental, so to speak, and, mm-hmm. and that introduces jazz to what happens for this radio station and stations across the country.
Yeah.
They always say jazz is an older brand, mm-hmm. but the 25 to 34-year-old hears these hits mm-hmm. that they're familiar with from R&B and pop. And Najee was the first one, I think, with in, one of Anita Baker's songs. So,
Yeah.
11 albums later, I think, if my math is right.
What?
How many albums have you put out? I think 11?
17. I did a few others.
I missed a few.
Yeah. But that's okay. I'm working on a new one anyway, so that's the one that
counts. Of course. That was going to be a question coming. Just how did you get started doing what you do?
Well, since I was 14 years old, I wanted to be a musician,
mm-hmm.
and that came from spending a summer with my uncle Donald Byrd.
Right.
He came to Europe, and he rented a house 50 yards from my parents' house.
Okay.
In the mountains in Switzerland, and I spent the summer with him because it was so exciting to mm-hmm. be with him and Kevin Tony also.
Oh yeah,
they were both in that house because Kevin was his new protege, like he had heard in the 60s. So there, I discovered what a real professional musician does with his days.
Mm-hmm.
And that was so regimented. The first thing in the morning, you wake up, you listen to music. He would practice with his mouthpiece, then write some charts, listen some more, practice some more, then go to sound check, rehearsal, sound check, show, and you repeat the same thing the next day.
Mm-hmm.
And that regimen really appealed to me, and I knew that I was already pretty not advanced but mm-hmm, intermediate mm-hmm. As a musician,
mm-hmm.
but that's really when I decided that's what I would do in my life.
Wow. And then decided to come to the States and mm-hmm. got on with Orpheus Records, I believe it was, back in the day.
Yeah, but first I was I first played with Melbourne Moore.
Uh-huh.
Then I played with Freddie Jackson, all Orpheus Records. You know.
Artists.
And then I moved from Freddie to Najee.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when Capitol Records, or EMI, came to see him.
Mm-hmm.
And we had two shows that night in New York City. And in between shows, they came to me. They said, "Can we speak to you for a minute?"
You must have had a dynamite solo. That's what that was.
And they, I mean, in those exact words, they asked me, "Look, Alex, we made a lot of money with Najee, and we think we can make a lot of money with you. Mm-hmm. Do you want to record an album for us?" Mm-hmm. And I was like, "Well, I said, yeah, okay,
yeah, absolutely."
You know, I wanted to be a producer. Mm-hmm. I wanted to be Quincy Jones or Greg Finnegan's. Mm-hmm. That was my aim back then. I had no idea I would become an artist, and it just fell on my lap.
Fell in your lap. That's more than fallen in your lap, because you've been able to make a substantial career out of that. Like you said, 17 albums later.
Yeah.
I think I have at least four. I know I have 11 in my collection. I have at least four of them on wax, which is interesting, and a totally different sound than CD.
Yeah.
But what has been your motivation? Because you've been here at the John Coltrane Jazz and Blues Festival. You've been at Middle C annually in Charlotte for at least the last 10 or 11 years. What is your motivation? The music. It's got to be the music, but what is your motivation in creation?
It's hard to say, because it's what we do. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the only thing I know how to do. I mean, I don't know anything else. I can cook, and I can really take care of my kids. Other than that,
that's funny.
But I've really never put too much thought into the motivation. Motivations can be, first of all, it's a discipline. I chose to do that for a living, so I gotta produce. It's just like any other job. But then, it's a lot of times, if I'm away from writing, and I have two little kids, 7 and 10, and I'm the primary caregiver, so it's really hard these last few years to be really creative.
Yeah.
So if I have a while where I can really create, it takes me 3 or 4 days until I start writing something that's really nice, the flow is back. And it's something that you have to do, whether it's good or not. You have to sit down and just get inside of yourself and try to come up with some stuff.
You're probably, by the way, Brian Anthony with you on Afternoon Jazz. Thanks, Jim Steele, for letting me interrupt. We're sitting here with Alex Bunyong, who's the headliner tonight for Downtown Jazz, just a block away from where we are right now. You talked about when Donald Byrd came to visit Europe, your uncle, the regiment, and all of that. What would you, and we're connected to John Coltrane. They give away instruments every year to some deserving kids with an essay contest. For some aspiring young or even older person, what would your recommendation be? Because there is a regiment that goes with this in discipline.
Yeah. Well, there is no shortcuts. Whatever the technology throws at us these days, and God knows it's a lot. Everything and everyone wants to make things easier. And easier and easier and more efficient. So that's when smart guys, smart women come up with all these tools that kind of dummy down the process. And there is nothing that will exchange this technology for practice and learn as much music way down the line that you can do.
Right.
Now, I'm not talking about going all the way to the 80s. I'm talking about going to the 19th century, 18th century.
Yes.
And that there is no shortcuts for that. You have to go through that. And it's really hard that these new kids nowadays, even the guys who are going to big schools like Juilliard and Manhattan School of Music, it's good and bad, but The practicing should be first.
Good.
And the learning to emulate your favorite artist.
Yes.
And then do something with that.
Repetition. Repetition is a lot.
Yeah.
You have to be very passionate and a student of the game. If I don't learn and I've been in this business for over 40 years now, if I don't learn every day something new, I'm going to get left behind. We're seeing that happening with various radio companies across the country laying people off on a weekly and monthly basis. The future. What do you see in the future in music? The balance between technology you just talked about and actually creating new music. Because what I'm finding out is smooth jazz, as they claim that it is, it's just, for me, it's just jazz. It's just music. I try not to categorize it. But when I'm looking at newer music, smooth jazz and what we call traditional jazz, traditional jazz is making a very strong comeback when it comes to what I consider to add to the radio station, just based on sound. So what do you see in the future of music, especially jazz?
Well, I would hope that the smooth jazz community would act on the same way that the straight ahead jazz community is, because they made it hip again. And whereas smooth jazz community makes it corny, the traditional community makes it hipper again. And because it appeals again to a young generation of musicians who are willing to practice and learn.
Yes.
And the smooth jazz has been dumbed down with formulas after formulas. It seems that when you go to some stations, it's a long tune of 24 hours a day.
Yes.
It's one long tune.
Yes.
And we know, you know, where it came from. That we can talk about broadcast architecture. So that's all. Those are the culprits of the dumbing down of the.
In your travels, you've been on the road in the studio for some 30 plus years. Almost coming up on 40, actually. Terrestrial jazz stations like this one here, and we have in Winston. What is the importance for us to maintain these radio stations, especially this one, amid the budget cuts that public media is going through? What's the importance for you as an artist for a station like this that carries jazz?
Very simple, because this kind of station is loyal to the musicians and the audience, not the advertisers. And that's the main thing that a station like yours, why a station like yours is still alive and well, just like WCRK in Atlanta.
Yes.
They cater to the audience.
Yes.
And they cater to the musician, and they take care of the musician, yes, the artist.
David Linden is a good friend of mine. Yeah. We go back all the way to his Warner Brother executive days. So we stay in contact. A lot of the public media consortiums, especially at HBCUs, we talk a lot. We talk a lot because the battle for us is a little different. And we're all finding ways to sustain and be able to be relevant. And while regular radio is just kind of falling by the wayside, almost. Tonight, I know what to expect. For anybody that hasn't seen Alex Bunyon perform, I'm just going to tell you to take your Flintstone vitamins and get ready for a show. You mentioned a new album coming out soon.
I'm working with Barry Eastman on some new stuff. And I have tons of material. I kind of let that go for a while because I was busy traveling, and my two kids, that was born in 2016, and I had just started to work on the new album in 2016 when my daughter was born, and then 3 years later my son is born. And I have an older daughter from my previous marriage. She's like 40 something.
Okay.
So it's been really hard, extra hard
to create.
I was doing it by myself, and I kind of surrendered and asked for help.
Okay, good. Well, you're probably like me. I think when the world stops, when the phones stop ringing during the daytime, my best time to create, and it's funny that people at the university and people, my staff, will tell me, what were you doing sending me an email at 3:40 in the morning? That's my best time to create. Are you the same way?
No, I'm an early morning
First thing in the morning.
My wife and I, we've been going to bed at 9-10 o'clock since we know each other. we're not going people who go out, and it's perfect. It's always been my time of the morning when I get up, have my coffee early, I cannot do that because I have to get the kids off to school. But after that, I go back, and mm-hmm. that's when I can do my work.
When you tour, and this is probably my last question because mm-hmm. you got to go to sound check. When you tour, you always well taken care of. What does it mean to you when you come to a city like Winston mm-hmm. that has a free situation like we do today? Mm-hmm. Of course, partnered with the city of Winston-Salem Downtown Partnership that makes sure you're taken care of. What does it mean when you have a free event and you're trying to get people to come and meet and greet Alex Bunyan?
Well, I mean, I don't understand the question.
Typically you're being paid to be there, but uh-huh. this is something you're paid to be at, but it's a free concert for the people that are coming. They don't have to pay.
That's really nice of the is that the city?
The city and Downtown Partnership and Post Entertainment.
That shows that the city is really trying to make things happen in Winston-Salem.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
Yeah, we're looking forward to a fun night with you tonight.
So do I.
Yeah. Alex Bunyan, thank you for joining us here at the 90.5 WSNC. Always good to see you. It's been a long time that we've been knowing each other. And every time I see you, you look and then you go, oh, he's familiar. I can see it in your eyes. But thank you for spending time with us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Jim, back to Afternoon Jazz. Thank you for your time.